And what this has been a full morning already with the prophetic words and then this whole demonstration of the miraculous. I just love Jesus. That's how many of you have he's done something for you at one time or another? And oh my gosh. Well, listen, let's go ahead and jump into our message here. The Holy Spirit is our problem solver. I want you to know, I want to create just a quick understanding about the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus dies for us. He's risen again. Then this promise of the Father. I'm going to go ahead and say this. We live in an American culture where everybody is more of a consumer mindset. And when the Holy Spirit came, it wasn't, oh, I think I'll have some Holy Spirit. No, I don't want any of that. That really, this is the promise of the Father. And to pick and choose what the Lord would give. So this first verse, this is the goal. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting for God, this is talking about the Father, from whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of our salvation, which is Jesus, perfect through suffering. In bringing many sons to glory, bringing many sons to glory. Next verse. In John 14, verse 18, Jesus makes this profound statement, and he says, I will not leave you orphans. Everybody say that. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, Romans 8:15 shows us how this happened. The Spirit you receive, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But you received, everybody say that, would you? The spirit of adoption. And there's something that begins to happen in your heart when you open to the Lord. God the Father becomes your daddy, Abba. This is not the singing group. This is actually... This is crying, Abba, Father. So this is my, I wanted to look in this idea of problem solving. How many of you know you cannot solve a problem with the same thinking that got you into the problem? Is that right? Even there's an old-timey definition of, functional definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And so in relating to God, the thinking that got us into problems is an orphan mentality. Would you say orphan mentality? Okay. Now, this is not a condemning message. It's just to show everybody where we really are all the time, pretty much. Okay. And the orphan mentality is one of independence, believing that everything is left up to you on your own, and you can't trust anyone, especially God, to help you out because he's too busy. And most everybody who gets saved comes into the kingdom with that mentality. God's too busy. I got to do it myself. A son mentality in the kingdom, next one, is God is your father, he's your daddy, he has provided everything for you, and a relationship with him gives access for you to receive everything he has to pour out, and he will release through your life what he wants you to do in the world. So, let's think of this for a second. In 2012, they did a study on the driving under the influence. Driving under the influence, DUIs. There were 30 million Americans during that study, 30 million Americans driving the car under the influence of alcohol or drugs. That's a tenth of the people in the nation driving under the influence. Now, this is what's going on a lot with us. Let's apply the driving under the influence of sons and daughters of Father God, but they're driving under the influence of an orphan mentality. So let's look at that orphan mentality as it applies to one thing, prayer. Okay? Just look with me. Next slide. The orphan spirit understands God as holy and powerful, but not personally loving. So prayer doesn't look that inviting. Is that right? Sons know they are welcome and have a father and want his presence more than answers. I have a lot of growth through this whole process. Let's look at the next one. Orphans see prayer as a way to get their share of the inheritance now. This is based on the prodigal son. So their prayer is often focused on receiving answers to daily problems such as money, jobs, food, clothing. Everything's focused about me now, me now, me now. Whereas the sons know their father, know the father knows what they have need of, so they don't take thought for that. There's a more, and we'll see, there's more relationship on the relationship, then there's more emphasis there. Next one. I'm going to just run through these. Orphans see prayer as a duty to perform, a way to be accepted, to be good, or possibly even to prove or leverage their righteousness. But sons see prayer as an opportunity to hear the Father's voice and discover the Father's heart. Orphans may focus, next one, orphans focus on techniques of prayer as cause and effect, way to get God to act. Sons think of prayer as conversation, discovering, abiding, knowing, being known. It's a relational thing. It's much more of a relational. Next one, orphans tend to do all the talking in prayer. Sons learn the art of honorable conversation in both talking and listening, including prayer. Now, I don't want anybody to feel condemned. This can do that, couldn't it? You feel like, oh my God, I don't even like God. But the point is, the Holy Spirit has come, and we don't want to drive under the influence of that. We want to grow out of that. Anybody here? It takes years to do it. It did Paul. Paul, it took some time. Orphan prayers, next one, tend to focus on what, why, and when to satisfy their mind's need to know and get the answer now. Sonship prayers tend to focus on the who. Who is God? Who am I to God? Who is in you know, God's heart? And then orphan prayer can be sprinkled with blame, criticism, information that we think God doesn't know. Isn't that the truth? How many of you prayed, well, I don't know if the Lord knows this or not. And so, you know, I need to fill him in. And yet sonship prayer rest is not only the Father's knowledge of all things, but also his forever commitment to every person's best and highest. I can tell you some stories about that. I'll be in prayer with somebody, and the next thing you know, the Father manifests his love through the Holy Spirit, and I see everything different. I see the value of every person. And as I begin to articulate it, it changes the environment of just what's going on. So the Father wants to really impart. Let's just a couple more. Orphan prayer may even pray against people or leaders who seem to be opposition. Sons pray as though that all are sons. You know, you want the best for... You speak blessing and forgiveness, especially in those of curse and abuse. That's been one of the deepest ways that I've grown into Christ-likeness, is blessing those who curse you. And then orphans pray judgment on people, but sons pray mercy, blessing, and God's grace on people. Orphans tend to pray out of a busy mind and soul and emotions. Sons, daughters pray from their spirit as the place where the spirit of adoption. I mentioned this earlier. There's some powerful benefits and praying in the spirit. Let me go ahead and jump into, see, Paul grew in this. He grew in this so much. We have another slide about with Paul. And this is his, in the book of Acts, we have a culture, and we just go by it and read it. We don't even realize what's really going on. But Peter, like Philip was in Samaria, you know, and he invites John and Peter to come down, and they pray, and people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means they get their prayer language, and they start praying in tongues. Paul, 15 years later, I think, after you know, the resurrection and stuff, he's way over in Ephesus, and he meets 12 guys, and they get saved, baptized in water, but first thing that happens is he's praying over them, and they all speak in tongues. Everybody say glossolalia. In other words, there's going to be some terms come up, glossolalists, people who speak in tongues. There's studies that have been done on this. But anyway, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And one time I used to play around with this. I said, I don't know. I'm going to try to outdo Paul. But it's really not about a competition. It's about a beautiful relationship. And these are some of the things that begin happening in my heart. I realize I need the Lord more than ever. And he's provided a God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell inside. And I have problems. I have challenges. I have things. And he is all wisdom. And I can pray, and that wisdom will start coming into me.
Hello.
I need insight. I need power. I need a lot of help. I face things. How about you? And if we will cultivate this. So today, I want to show you some studies. Now, this next slide here is kind of wild looking. Go ahead. So it's kind of packed in there. I want to show you three studies that were done. John Kildale from the federally funded research entitled The Psychology of Speaking in Tongues speaks of the results of the Minnesota Multifaceted Personality Inventory, specifically observing the impact of spiritual language on those who practice it. He said that those who speak in tongues, as gospel is, were characteristically less depressed. Hello! Less depressed praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Studies reveal. People, I prayed in tongues once back in 1972, and I've been depressed so much. God, the Holy Spirit, came to dwell in you and give you a capacity to break through all this stuff. Okay? Can you hear me getting excited here? The results were that they were characteristically less depressed than the non-glossolalists, or the people that don't speak in tongues. When tested a year later, the glossolalists, or people praying in tongues, continued to experience the same feelings of well-being. They were neither more or less depressed than the year previously. They continued to say that they were changed persons and continued to feel the definite assurance of God that God loved them. Come on! This is a study federally funded. Furthermore, they describe themselves more sensitive and loving toward others. Most reported higher moral ethical responsiveness, in which they attributed the glossolalia, or the speaking in tongues, experience. He concludes, the tongue speakers have a profound sense that they are well. This is studies. This is bringing people in. Now, you'll see, well, there's other studies, so I'll get to these other ones, but when you're praying in tongues, it's not coming out of your communication center. It's coming out of another place. The D.A. Tappanier says that the Journal of American Scientific Affiliation, it is easy to see why tongue speakers are less depressed than non-tongue speakers. Depression is a feeling that the cupboard of the world is bare, and that good things are not possible for oneself, that the supply of good things in the world out there is limited. A glossolalist, a tongue speaker, believes that God Almighty is with him and approves of him, and that fellow believers surround and confirm him in this belief, and he is all right. It is hard to conceive of a more powerful antidote to feeling depressed. Should he feel a bit down, he can begin to pray and speak in tongues and recall that God is with him, and that glossolalia is a specific gift from God, and he can unload his problems through releasing his feelings through tongue speech. There's a lot of words there, but there's one more. According to Raymond T. Brock, an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God, professor of psychiatry and missionary for 48 years of ministry, there are some of us who believe that glossolalia, or speaking in tongues, is conducive to good mental health and insist in personality integration, and it is an experience that comes to grips with pathological illness tendencies in fragmented personalities, offers a better way Christ came to impart. Speaking in tongues assists the spirit-filled believer in achieving this wholeness and perpetuating it in everyday life. There's one more, and then I got a little phrase at the bottom. Morton Kesley, an Episcopal rector, a psychologist, said, speaking with tongues is evidence of the Spirit of God working in the subconscious and bringing a person to new wholeness, new integration of the total psyche. Let's look at this last line here. The reality is, I want you to just really get this. This is really an amazing statement. The reality is, the mind was never intended to carry the load. When a person's spirit takes the lead, the soul and body will be able to function in the support roles they were designed to fulfill. Out of a man's spirit flow the forces of life. You're in my minds. And I learned this, I learned 40 years ago, I was reading a book by Watchman Nee, and I discovered that the function of the mind, the real function of the mind, is learning how to submit to the spirit. And I started growing in that. A lot of people struggle with hearing because they're thinking God's going to speak in their mind. But it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And so we pray. So anyway, I want to jump down here. We're doing, an early church. Let's go there. As the early church in the book of Acts was transformed from an orphan mentality to a sonship mentality and partnering with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, the problems they faced were solved. Okay? I'm just going to quickly, this is real quick. But we're just going to look at six quick slides. I'm not going to go into them deep, just a little portion of them. But the first one in Jerusalem, Acts 1, 1 through 6, 7, these are the people involved. The main problem was poverty. And the Holy Spirit, if you go and read it, you'll see how the Holy Spirit solved that problem. And they put seven guys full of the Holy Spirit. It was amazing what happened. And there was also the spirit of generosity, which was so articulated last week from Todd's preaching, that was released. And this is the result of the solving of the problem. The last line, and the word of God increased. So the Holy Spirit solves the problem. The word of God has increased. The number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Then the next problem, Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. We could go into these. These are great stories in understanding this. Acts 6, 8 through 9, 31. So you have Stephen, Philip, and Saul, main characters. And the problem was persecution. They stoned Stephen. Philip escaped and went out into Samaria. Saul ends up coming to know the Lord through this. Here's the solution now. Acts 9:31. Then the church had rest. And that's something. Throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, going on and built up in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Solving problems. Next one. Coastlands of in Syria, Acts 9:32-12:24. This one is Cornelius, Peter going to Cornelius and had to overcome what? The problem was prejudice. It's very specific. And God, and look at this, it says, and the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. Had to overcome prejudice. Isn't this amazing? Does anybody see the joy of the Holy Spirit is actively involved in the church solving the problems of the flesh and of the culture? And you can't, look, they're praying in tongues all the time. It's not an option. It's not like they're stuck in their heads. They had to grow out of the orphan mentality into the sonship mentality themselves. Next one, number four, Cyprus and Galatia, Acts 12:25-65. And this is the missionary journeys. Anyway, when it boils down to it, it's the problem is heresy. They're having to face heresy. And they're dealing with that. They solve it. But so the churches were established. What happened is everywhere that Paul went, there was a little group of people that come behind him and try to get everybody back into legalism. That was one of the problems. So the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. The Holy Spirit specifically dealt with that. That's one of those passages where it says, "And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us," you know, and He solves that. Number five, Macedonia, Archaea, Asia, Acts 16:6-19:20. Paul's journeys to Syria. And look at that. This is amazing. They're really hitting the problem is idolatry. Remember how in Ephesus, where they went out and burned all the books, you know, and broke the power of that spirit and it's just phenomenal stories, but it's work of the Holy Spirit So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Can somebody just say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Then the last one in Rome, of course, we know this as Paul ends up in Rome, and it's the problem now is imprisonment. And even in imprisonment, and while Paul's in prison, it says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching about Christ quite openly and unhindered. The shackles didn't stop. So look at this. Next slide. Here we have problems in the book of Acts, poverty, persecution, prejudice, heresy, idolatry, imprisonment, all solved by the Holy Spirit. Let's do the last slide. What are the problems in your life? Will you partner with the Holy Spirit by praying, I should have said in the Spirit always, and trust Him to do it? Now, I'm exposing you to this because between the celebration of the resurrection on Easter and the end of Passover and coming up 40 days after, or 50 days, Pentecost, we're coming up at the end of this month, the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. And I just wanted to seed the idea that the Holy Spirit is for you. God is for you. And I am actually making changes in my life regarding my... I've always prayed in the Spirit, but it's like I had no idea the depth and level of the benefit to me. And so I'm seeking to take that Spirit and impart it to you. Is anybody happy or about this? Or he's like, that's okay, Pastor, you know, whatever. Yeah. Look, I've met so many guys that were saved in denominations that were like me, that they received the Lord and they were hanging on, and they didn't get freedom, they didn't get all the breakthrough, they didn't get the help they needed. The primary thing that I'm going to really promote is that you and I spend time with the Lord throughout the day praying in the Spirit. Are you any takers here? Now, if you've never been laid hands on and prayed that, I will be very, very happy in the next several Sundays that we want to make sure, or if there's a, you know, we've done this in the past, or at least especially focused on this season of the year, that we want to stir that up in your heart. There's been so many different beautiful experiences that happen. Because when you pray in tongues, it's like, have you ever heard of going to a well and priming a pump? Has anybody ever heard of, you have to pour a little water down the pump to get it to kick in. God has given us a way to prime the pump by praying in the Spirit, singing, worship, all those things, giving spirit of thanksgiving, all those things cause that to happen. But that the whole point is we want to begin to live in His manifest, the beauty of His presence, and that we begin to tap into all the things that He wants to give us. Let's go ahead and stand together. If we weren't doing this kind of thing, how many of you know the movement of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is what makes the church alive? How many of you know the words of knowledge that came today were not out of anybody's head? They were out of Father's heart. You can bear witness that. Why is that? Because we spend time praying in the Spirit. We don't just stand up here and it happens. There's a lifestyle. I want to be a person who is never stuck in the orphan mentality ever again. I don't want to have to approach God like a begging. I want to know my Father's already thought about this, has a plan for it. I can pray in the Spirit, tap into it and understand it and function with what He wants, even if it's a trial. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your heart up to Him and let's just, as those who are baptized in the Spirit, let's go ahead and pray in the Spirit a little bit. Let's go ahead and stir it up a little bit. Holy Spirit, come upon everybody. Let there be a fresh baptism in our hearts today. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Let a holy gusher come up in your spirit in your heart. Jesus said, rivers, rivers of living water flowing up from within, rivers of healing, rivers of language, rivers of blessing, rivers of freedom. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to pray the perfect will of the Father. We want to pray the will of your will into our lives. I feel like the Lord is saying, I know this now. There's some of you, if you start praying in the Spirit, there's been hindrances in your life and they're just going to go down. They're going to break down. They're going to bow before the God inside of you. You're going to pray. You're going to be stirred up. And suddenly the things that were hindering you are just going to go and they're going to bow before the God within you. That's the picture the Lord gave me. He says that the adversary cannot handle the great one inside of you. The God with the big G. The big G God is inside of us. Let's stir it up again. Praise you, Lord. Let the endearment, the love, let the passion. There are things that are going to be unloosened in your life. There are relationships that are going to shift. There are things that are going to break because the will of the Father is being articulated, you giving time to have His heart express in your particular private situation, and things change because God is the answer to every prayer. More of the Lord, praying in the Spirit, gives more of the Lord into the situation. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. Amen.